The next bracket next Tuesday could be Xur the Enchanter versus Mizzix of the Ismagus. Ismagnus. Ismanidzmizmiz. God, Amaritandris? Amaritandris? Oh, I like that voice. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, it's only 2 weeks. Oh, that's the other thing we need to say. Gapla, Nate. How come you forgot about Gapla already?
I didn't do it.
The bluebird is sleeping. Go time.
All right, so you guys ready? Do we need to do lion face, lemon face?
Lion face.
I thought we were doing Gitrog now.
Gitrog.
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 That's pretty good, Nick.
Gitrog.
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 Wow. Well, now that we've ruined our voices, that's our show. All right. I think we're ready. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And Sean can't be with us tonight, but he's listening. We know he's listening. He tells us in our brains. And we are Commanderin.
Commanderin.
That was the music. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues you want to hear about. But never, ever will we talk about three banned topics, will we, Nate? Religion, politics, or Hearthstone. Remember to head over to join our Patreon community at patreon.com/commanderinmtg by donating as little as a buck a show. And you'll get to be part of events like determine which card should be on our most busted bracket. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to shine a spotlight on the token deck building strategy we call Big Tokens Selesnya. To talk about it, we brought none other than the Gruul Grinder. That's kind of sexy, actually. The token tyrant, friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski.
Hello, Phil.
Welcome back, Nick.
Glad to be here.
Nate and I are very excited to have you back because it means we're going to talk about one of our favorite strategies.
Oh, and definitely one of my favorite as well.
Yep, token strategies. And we are going to get to that. But first, now you mentioned you have a direct connection to Sean?
Well, I do. You may have noticed he hasn't been around lately.
We have.
He's currently residing in my house, and I told him the deal was that he could come back to the show if I was promised another guest spot on the Selesnya token show.
Oh. So are you going to release him?
Eventually.
Are you keeping him in the trunk?
No, he's in the basement right now.
In a trunk in the basement.
Yeah.
Yes. I do let him, raid the fridge in the basement. There's some old yogurt in there, and I think there might be a steak in the back.
You gave him a key to the zipper mask?
Only on Sundays.
All right. Well, hopefully this is a maybe this is a Nick the Harbinger episode. Who knows? We'll have to find out, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's a reference to Nahiri the Harbinger. Only instead of Emrakul, maybe Nick is bringing Sean to the show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a stretch. But that's what I'm here for.
It went over my head.
Oh, God in heaven, people.
Just like Emrakul.
You guys have played Magic before, right?
Magic?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is Tokens in Hearthstone. Now, recently, you made a token creature of your own, didn't you?
Yes, all of the fine work that I did leading up to this moment has finally come to fruition. I have made the perfect token, and his name is Jackson.
Ah, That's awesome. We have seen plenty of pictures. You've been tweeting a couple. You tweeted a couple of them, so that's great. But you need to tweet more because there's nothing like baby pictures except babies.
Yeah, he was trying to do his best Sean Scowl impression, and he's getting lots of practice with Sean living with us.
That was great. I am surprised that you didn't make Sean choose that picture.
Oh, well, we did. He had to choose from the best, and he wasn't happy about it.
Awesome. Well, again, congratulations. You know that we have congratulated you on the show before, but this is the first time we're doing it on the show in person, so to speak.
Yes, thank you very much. If you hear me running off at any moment during the show, it's just because the token is demanding attention.
Yes. The Child of Alara torch has passed from Blake Watson to Jackson Jaragoski. And so, hopefully you haven't just disappeared and been destroyed by the child, but we have some news before we get on to the main topic. Folks, you can get access to special patron-only content, including PDFs of our show plans. We put together the most busted commander bracket with these folks, and more is on the way. All you have to do is go over to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/commanderandmtg. And again, you can donate for as little as a buck a show, and we would greatly appreciate that. At $10, you get access to the patron chat that we're hosting on Facebook, so come join us there. The most busted bracket is a contest of sorts that we're currently running, only the winner is actually a Magic card, and it's a legendary creature. And the most busted bracket is a list of 16 really kind of painful commanders to play against. And we selected those 16 with the help of our patrons from Patreon and also a couple of members of the deck testing group. And we are now running a vote on Twitter where every day, except on the weekends, you get to vote for two of the most busted legendary creatures to serve as commanders. Right now, we're seeing a shootout between Narset and Shroom, but by the time this show drops on Tuesday, we should be seeing the struggle, the conflict, the titanic clash between Xur and Mizzix. So come join us on Twitter. Follow us there, vote, and tell all your friends to vote. Third item on our list is Gapla. Nate, you named it. You're coming down to Los Angeles for GPLA, aren't you?
Yep.
You're going to play some busted commanders?
Oh, just the ones I play.
Yep. So some busted decks because you bust our spirits.
Yay.
Who are you bringing? Which commanders do you think you're bringing?
I picked up some new paper cards to round out Jaleva.
Uh-oh.
And I still got Krenko, and I might build something else. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, one of my Magic buddies at work built his first commander decks. One of them was a Krenko deck, and he watered it down with a few non-goblins. And I told him, you should probably find any goblin to replace those. And then he also built an Athreos deck, but that's another story. So we're going to, we know for sure, listener Warlin, that's WC Power 9, he's going to be there, and also playtester and our old friend Chris Thacker, who goes by the name Thack or at ThackFu, he'll be there. And of course, recent guest A.E. Marling. A.E. Marling is bringing his Sea Monster deck and what was his other deck, Nate?
Grimgrin.
Yeah, Grimgrin. So you and he can have a Grimgrin off if you build a Grimgrin deck. So we'll have our microphones. We'll do some spot interviews like we did at GP Las Vegas. So if you're a fan, come to GPLA, tweet at us. We'll be tweeting where we are. And there's no guarantee that Nate or I will be sober throughout the entire weekend. In fact, it's almost a guarantee that one of us will not be sober at any given time.
It might be you.
Indeed. We are happy to share with of-age listeners, so come on by. Follow us. Bring your own flask, too. Anyway, yet more teaser before we get to the major topic. Let's talk about what we've been playing or playtesting. Nate, why don't you lead us off, since your decks are almost always fun and yet incredibly oppressive and spirit-breaking.
Yeah, they are. I made a Shaman Tribal, which is actually very robust. Marin of Clan Nel'Toth, and I'm trying a Sekuar, because another side theme of the decks are the curses spells.
Ooh.
Enchantment aura, you enchant another player. So with that, the Accursed Witch that just came out with SOI that turns into a curse, she's a shaman. There's also a Bitterheart Witch, which when it dies, you get to tutor up a curse and throw it on somebody.
Nice.
And she also has Death Touch, so if you can throw out a Thornbite Staff before you cast her, then ping everything for one Death Touch damage for two mana each. And that's that clears things up. Clears up the sinus congestions on the board.
Yeah, it does. Have you managed to do that yet in your playtesting?
Yeah.
Oh.
For specific removals. I haven't removed an entire board with it because it takes a lot of mana to do that.
Sure.
But I've familiarized Dean with the effects of curses a couple times.
That's Dean Goody, who was recently on our show as well.
Yeah.
Had he not played very often with curses before?
I don't know. He might have, but I gave him some recent experience.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Do you think it was as spirit-breaking as your, and I have no doubt you're going to redact this, as your...
No, it was, they said it was fun. I was playing against two Nekuzars. He was one of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, that was kind of rough. But the Shaman Tribal came through.
Nice. I don't think have I played against that yet? No.
No?
No, you played against it. Phil, I think I was in the game with you.
Was it Marin or Sekuar?
It was the Sekuar deck. I specifically remember him annotating the curses as Phil.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was Shadowborn Apostles because you did a Sekuar Shadowborn Apostles as well.
Yeah, faked you out there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice work. So I have been developing a meta at work, actually. We started with some sealed leagues, and now I've gotten at least one of them to build a couple of commander decks. And I've had a chance to play Karametra, Zergo, and the Mimeoplasm. Today I had loaned out Zergo, and so it was the Mimeoplasm against Zergo and an Athreos deck. And then my buddy also built a Krenko deck, and he brought that in. I think we talked about that a few minutes ago. And it's not bad. You know, he's got some potential. He says that when he was playtesting against his friend at home, they ended up generating something like 30 goblins and then swarmed in for the kill. At which point I was like, hey, have you seen these cards? And then I started showing him some of the tribal cards, and his mind was blown, realizing that coat of arms can be dropped just before you attack and then ruin everybody's day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sounds like you better watch out the next time you play against that, Phil.
Well, I think what he does is he plays with the cards at hand, and he started Magic by getting a kind of a brick of 2,000 or 3,000 cards from Theros Block on. So he needs to fill out some of his tribal cards, and I don't think he's willing to pay some of these prices. A lot of those are up in the $7-$8 range now. So Nick, what have you been playtesting?
Well, I see a note here that I'm not supposed to mention big token spammers, so that really limits me, but besides tokens, I have recently gone back to a old favorite of mine, Bryon Stoutarm.
Mm.
A fun Boros commander. He does something that most of them don't, and I'm just having fun throwing big bodies at people and then recurring the bodies back from their graveyard to do it all over again.
Are you stealing those bodies first?
If I can. Why waste your own when you can borrow someone else's?
Yeah, you just borrow somebody's big baddie, like a Terastodon or something, and then throw it back to them when you're done with it.
Well, who's playing a Terastodon?
Oh, who would play a Terastodon? That is some kind of dastardly cur, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They make tokens, too.
Yeah. The most fun thing to do for me is to slap a Molten Primordial to a Mimic Vat and stealing three creatures a turn.
Oh, you're a bad man. Yeah, I think that was the first deck you ever played against us, isn't it?
It was the first deck I played against you back in the day when you were
back
teaching me how to play online.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then you started giving the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks, it's worth noting that those of you who are looking to playtest with us, you should look for Nick. He is Radlad on Cockatrice and at Radus Nick, or do I have that reversed? No, at Radus Nick on Twitter.
Yes, you're correct.
Yep. And hit him up, and as a friend of the show, he will be happy to show you the ropes. And if you do manage to connect with Nick, then we can maybe connect you with the deck playtesting group.
Yeah, come on down. I'm always excited to play with new people.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick will show you a few of his special decks. In fact, one of them we're going to kind of talk about in the next few minutes, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, one of my old and favorites.
Yeah. So, Nate, you want to take us into the big token strategy?
Big tokens. In this series, we will discuss decks that focus on making tokens. Ideally, lots of them.
Lots of them.
So the common thread with all of today's commanders is that they are in just green and white. And they have the word token on them somewhere. First up, the obvious choice, Rhys the Redeemed. It's only a single mana, and you can pay either green or white. Mm-hmm. Legendary creature, elf warrior, 1/1. He's got a couple abilities. If you pay two and a green or a white, and you tap him, put a 1/1 green and white elf warrior creature token into play. The next ability, 4 and 2 of the green or white, and you tap it. For each creature token you control, put a token into play that's a copy of that creature. So twice as many. Twice as many.
Yeah, so he is a doubler.
Mm-hmm.
He's a doubler on a stick. Mm.
For 6 mana.
Yeah, that second ability is scary.
Yeah, when it gets up into... I mean, if you just start with 3 tokens and start doubling from there, it becomes brutal. And it's important to note that even though Rhys generates elf warrior creature tokens, when he doubles them, he doesn't care what they are. He just doubles whatever you've got out.
Yeah, so, you know, get your elf warriors, get your insects, get your beasts, elephants, doesn't matter. He loves them all.
Plants, saprolings, core soldiers, Pegasus.
Warriors.
Yep. Humans.
Angels.
Oh, yeah, angels. Ugh. So who else we got?
Next up, Emara Tandris. 5 and a white and a green.
Oof.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Legendary creature, elf shaman. 5/7. So you're getting some numbers for that mana cost. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to creature tokens you control. That sounds very useful. Is it 7 mana useful? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. Certainly not as a commander, and she is much derided. This card is much derided in the community. But to prevent all damage, and bearing in mind that's not combat damage, so Blasphemous Act and the like, that has no effect on your tokens when Amara's out. Sure, Amara bites it, but whatever. Your tokens make it through, and that's what you care about. You've probably got some Anthem effects or some Super Anthem effects, and we'll talk about a couple of those. So, I don't know. This makes some really big tokens, and you could just keep hammering in with them.
If she had 2 less mana cost and 2 less power and toughness, she would be all over the place.
Yeah.
I guess you could give a creature death touch and make it so that everybody has to block that creature. That might be fun for you.
Right, but even then, if you're making tokens, do you really care if your death touch must be blocked token is alive at the end of it?
If you only have enough to take out one opponent at a time, you might care.
Mm-hmm, true.
But otherwise, no, probably not.
True. And she is definitely not, she doesn't even make as many appearances as our next card.
Trostani, Selesnya's Voice. Green, green, white, white. Legendary creature, Dryad. 2/5. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you don't have to cast it, it just has to show up. You gain life equal to that creature's toughness. That adds up. It's also got an ability. 1, green, white. And tap, populate. Put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of a creature token you control.
Mm-hmm. And for only 3 mana. So if you've got a very large token, like one of the angels Nick mentioned before, then this gives you 2 of them? That's not too bad.
Yeah, the second ability is really more important than the first one on this commander, I think.
I don't know. I've seen some life gain decks that abuse the heck out of this guy.
Yeah,
out of these ladies.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, it can, but when you're in a format where commander damage is a thing, it can or cannot be a deciding factor in whether or not you win.
Yeah, you'd almost have to have an army of flying creatures, let's say, to protect yourself from commander damage.
Yeah, you'd need to have chump blockers, and I don't know where this commander would get them.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It can get them.
Yeah. So, Nate, Nick, would you run any of these without the other two?
I would definitely run either Tristani or Rhys without Amara, and I think most people would agree.
I agree.
I think, I mean, you could run Amara with Rhys because they have elf synergies, so that's a thing, but I don't know if I've ever seen Amara run in any of my metas that I run in. I don't know. Have either of you seen her played personally?
I've never seen her played.
I've seen her played, but not as the commander.
No, never as the commander.
Yeah. So Rhys was my first commander, or, you know, first real commander. I think I said that on the first show that I was on with you. And
yeah.
She's still one of my favorites.
Rhys?
Mm-hmm.
Rhys the guy?
Did I say she?
Yes. Rhys is a guy.
Well, I am sleep deprived, you know this, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're about to go through years of training Jackson. What is male and what is female? And the differences thereof. So how would you stack rank them? Obviously, Amara Tandris is last. But
personally,
first?
I would probably stack it Rhys, Trosani, Amara. But I think depending on your personal take on it, some people might put Trosani first.
I'd agree with that ranking. I'd say that Rhys is more obviously scary and collects more hate.
Yeah.
Tristani's more, stays around in the back and watches things happen.
Yeah, Tristani's all like, hey, everybody, I'm just going to sit back and gain some life now. There's no threat here.
Yeah, people are less scared of you making one extra token a turn rather than doubling your token army every turn.
Yeah, but is it worth the risk of having Rhys exiled and then never seeing it again?
Never, ever seeing it again.
Never, ever?
For that, since it only cost one mana in the first place.
Oh, no. I think I've probably cast Rhys 4 or 5 times in a game quite regularly.
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Like running Rhys in Trostani, so to speak.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For one mana, he's still an excellent elf.
That's true. So he kind of augments it, but you have to have plenty of other token generators then, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so the overall strategy, working with these commanders?
So you could go with tribal themes if you want, but you don't really have to. You got elf tribal and warrior tribal for Rhys. You got elf and shaman tribal for Amara Tandris if you like to go that way. I don't know how many dryads there are. Let's check on that.
Not too many. Certainly not enough to support a tribal in favor of elf.
Yeah, Rhys does have a lot of elves and warriors that are both elf warriors, so there's a lot of synergy there.
Right.
There's about 30 dryads.
30 dryads? That's more than I thought.
Yep, and they're all in green and white.
Huh.
Oh, the dryad arbor.
Yeah.
The land creature. That's a forest dryad.
Yep. Hopefully we'll see that reprinted in Eternal Masters. That's up around $8 too. So how do you win? Obviously you're making tokens, but then what do we do with those tokens?
You need a way to get them through your opponents. If you just have a lot of little 1/1s and 2/2s, if they have enough blockers, you're not going to do too much. So you need ways to get them through or around your opponent's army.
How do you get an army of elves through your opponent's defenses?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Phil.
Do you think they're quiet when they do that?
Some of them are sneaking through the underbrush, but some of them are quite loud. But there is one particular elf that, you know, he's underappreciated, but he does a good job. And his name is Taunting Elf. For 1 green, you get a 0/1. And when he attacks, he says, all creatures that can block Taunting Elf must do so.
Oh, so he draws all the attention. Got it.
Yeah. I've got a nice altar of him with him sticking his tongue out, and it's hilarious.
Right, and so we'll get into some of Rhys's token makers, the ones that Nick really enjoys playing in a few minutes. Nate, you've got a list here, I see, of cards we already mentioned the last Big Tokens episode, which, of course, was Big Token Spammers, right?
Yeah, and all of those commanders were in green, so we don't want to repeat a lot of the cards. So I'm going to read a quick list.
Okay.
Get your drinking elbows ready.
Ready.
Doubling Season, Parallel Lives, Primal Vigor, Hardened Scales, Skull Mulcher, Fungal Sprouting, Cathar's Crusade, Muraganda Petroglyphs, Overrun, Overwhelming Stampede, Pathbreaker Ibex, Craterhoof Behemoth, Garrick Wildspeaker, Coat of Arms, Door of Destinies, Mirror Entity, Beastmaster Ascension, Triumph of the Hordes, Elish Norn, Grand Cenobite, Dragon Throne of Tarkir, Vigor, Ivy Lane Denizen, Bloodspore Thrynax, Mycoloth, Thelonite Hermit.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And we're not mentioning Hornet Queen? And there's a new doubler that will quickly join our ranks of cards we must drink to. The Second Harvest, of course, the instant from Shadows over Innistrad, spoiled by the Command Zone. That's 2/2 green for an instant for each token you control. Put a token onto the battlefield. That's a copy of that permanent.
So he's doing what Reese is doing for only 4 mana.
Yeah, only 4 mana.
At instant speed.
Yeah, it's a wonderful surprise. And, of course, it's meant to go along with all sorts of tokens, like the
clues,
for example. But it goes really well in any kind of a token deck that's based in green, which, of course, most of them are.
Second Harvest, that's definitely replacing Parallel Evolution in a lot of my decks. It's just strictly better.
So, what are some of the obvious cards that we should be running in any kind of a Selesnya token deck, Nate?
So there's a land called Gavany Township.
Oh, it's great.
And you can tap it for 1 colorless, or you can pay 2 and a green and a white and tap it and put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Gavany Township has a lot of synergy with a lot of the cards I use in Reese of the Redeemed.
Yeah, that is a lovely card. That was one of the first cards I actually picked up from my old meta. Somebody had an extra copy of it. I bought it for $1 and put it immediately into Marath. It's just such a monster. Just such a monster.
Yeah, if you like playing Mazurek, then this is a good approximation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. Another card in this category is Sigil Captain. For 1, a green and white-white, so 4 total mana. You get a 3/3 Rhino Soldier, which doesn't sound like a bargain, but whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature is 1/1, put 2 +1/+1 counters on it.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. How many times have you seen a Sigil Captain last 1 wheel to give you enough time to generate 1/1s after it hit the table?
There was usually other stuff going on that kept him around.
Yeah, you kind of have to slip him out when there's a fray going and he's not the biggest target. What about this next card?
What about it?
Is that a wolf?
What?
Is that a wolf with tusks?
Sure. Why not? maybe it's a prosthetic. No?
It could be.
Juniper Order Ranger. 3 green, white, creature, human knight. 2/4. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature and a +1/+1 counter on Juniper Order Ranger.
That's great. That's really tasty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Thalia's Lieutenant, sort of, yeah. Except for all creatures.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of art, too. Greg Hildebrandt. Apparently likes tusked fox wolves. Sorry, okay. Enough of my little art distraction. So we also have Wayfaring Temple for 1 and a green white. A star creature elemental. Wayfaring Temple's power and toughness are each equal to the number of creatures you control. Howdy. Whenever Wayfaring Temple deals combat damage to a player, populate. There's that populate word again. Maybe we should take a moment to talk about populate since it's been on 2 cards.
Well, hang on.
Yeah?
Is that a walking building?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a walking building. And I think it appears on Grove of the Guardian. Not certain. But yes, it's a walking building from Ravnica. Again, the home of the Selesnya Guild.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about populate?
Go ahead.
It's pretty straightforward. Whenever you see the word populate, you put a token onto the battlefield. That's a copy of a creature token you control. So you're not cloning an opponent's token, but you are copying your own token. This can be abused pretty significantly. If you have something, you know, if you're playing Bant and you have something like a Progenitor Mimic, populate effects can be quite nasty.
Yeah, or a Desolation Twin.
Yeah, Desolation Twin, exactly. Just nasty. Now, oh, you should read this card. I haven't seen this card played much, but when it is played, it's nasty.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, it is.
And mana cost.
Mana cost,
Voice
right.
of Resurgence. Green, white. Creature, elemental. 2/2. And the picture is a deer made out of trees. And whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn... Don't cast spells during my turn. Or, when Voice of Resurgence dies... Put a green and white elemental creature token onto the battlefield with this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of creatures you control.
Yeah. So nice. So nice. Because you want a path to exile this guy or Swords to Plowshare it as soon as it comes out, but you can't. You could, but it's going to give your opponent a nice juicy creature. I need to make an aside here, Nate. I am so happy we're talking about Selesnya. It's my favorite two-color combination, and I think we're seeing why. It's all of this unification and brightness and everybody working together to feel good. Okay, back to the cards. Tulsimir Wolfblood for 4 and a green-white, a legendary creature, elf warrior, so his buddies hangs out with Rhys. A 3/4, other green creatures you control get +1/+1, other white creatures you control get +1/+1, and tap it, put a legendary 2/2 green and white wolf creature token named Voya into play, or Voja into play. So he gives you the token. If it doubles, that's unfortunate for the spare token, as it were, because the legendary rule kills it. This is a lot like Wilt Leaf Liege. But instead of the anthem effect for green and white creatures, you get the with Wilt Leaf Liege. Hard to say when we're talking about Tulsimir Wolfblood. You can put it into play if you're forced to discard it. So in a lot of ways, Tulsimir is better, but more expensive too. So
yeah, 6 mana seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean basically 6 mana, you get a anthem. It can be quite a good anthem if you've got a lot of green and white creatures, and because, of course, the anthem effect in this case applies to both sides of that creature, the green and the white. So a creature that is green and white gets +2/+2. And then the next turn, you get a legendary 2/2. You're actually getting a legendary 4/4, aren't
you? 4/4.
Right. Not too bad.
Tulsimir, I have dabbled using him as a token commander, but I ended up not liking him too much.
Does he cost too much?
Yeah, the cost was prohibitive, and if the creature he made wasn't legendary, I would like him a lot more.
Right, because you can only make one of them.
Correct. Unless you play that really obscure artifact from the Kamigawa block.
Right, the legend rule doesn't apply. And yet Tulsimir Wolfblood is $3.44, so somebody is playing
it. Somebody's using him, yeah.
Yeah. Well, $2.50 on the low end. Not too bad. What's this next card?
Collective Blessing.
Ooh.
3 green, green, white. Enchantment. Creatures you control get +3/+3.
That's pretty good.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, it's a bunch.
Turns your 1/1s into 4/4s.
Very expensive, though. Do you think it's worth the 6 mana cost, especially in a mana-hungry deck like Rhys?
Well, it is something that you might tutor up by sacrificing your Sterling Grove.
Sure. Then you still have to cast it.
Yeah, but if you're at the point where you can use this as a finisher right before combat, then you already have 6 mana up.
That's true. And you don't need to double it again because you've already got 30 or 40 tokens. So, which I can't believe you can say and be serious while saying. So yeah, you drop this. It's a lot like a coat of arms. That's a good way to look at it. I've been cutting it whenever I make a green and white based token deck, but I think maybe I'll try it out. It's time, like A.E. Marling said, to just try out fun cards. Gosh darn it. All right. And the last card in our kind of obvious tech here is Mirari's Wake for 3 and a green white. Creatures you control get +1/+1, but that's not really why you're playing it, is it? You're playing it because whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana to your mana pool of any type that land produced. So this is when Rhys really gets rolling. You drop Mirari's Wake, and if it survives, you are in Token Town. Token Town's a fun place. Lots of parties.
Oh, is that part of the Gavinny Township?
Yes. Yeah. They call it Token Town, but it's really more of a token...
It's a district.
Light district, yeah.
A municipality?
Yep. So we have some secret tech, and then, Nick, we're going to talk about your choices for Rhys Doublers.
Okay.
And so secret tech, Nate, you want to lead it? I don't think I've ever seen this creature played.
Oh, yeah, you have. So this guy works in Rhys the Redeemed. He's Bramblewood Paragon for 1 and a green. Creature Elf Warrior. He's 2/2. Each other warrior creature you control comes into play with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. Oh, now you remember where you said it?
Yeah.
Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has trample.
A certain Nath of the Gilt Leaf likes this.
Yeah, he's also an elf warrior.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I like to pair this guy up with Draga Warcaller.
And this one, interestingly, is a woman.
I don't know. Are you sure about that, Phil?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm still learning my parts.
Don't worry. By the time you have to teach Jackson, you'll have mastered this.
Yeah, you made the token creature somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the after hours part of the show there, Nate.
After dark.
After dark. Making tokens for real.
Yep. Another secret tech here, Nate. You've played this one. I think I recall this one too, right?
Yeah, Obsidian Battle Axe. For 3, it's a tribal artifact. Warrior equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+1 and has haste. It has an equip cost of 3, but whenever a warrior creature comes into play, you may just have it magically jump into their hand.
Is that kind of like Thor's hammer?
It's exactly like that.
The Thor's hammer for Rhys. Wow. Yeah, so I guess mid-game, after Rhys has been exiled a couple of times and you bring him back in for 4 mana, you just snap this onto him, and then by that point, you're in green anyway. You should have 10 mana, and bam, you're doubling tokens again. Lovely. Yeah, I think I have Obsidian Battleaxe in my Hazazon Tamar deck.
Yeah, I have him in Nath and in Rada.
Oh, Rada, yeah. Oh, God, I'm having flashbacks, Nate. These are 2 decks that Nate plays. Nick, I don't know if you've had the pleasure of playing against Rada and Nath, but it's brutal. Brutal. Listen to me. It's brutal.
I think I played against his Rada deck when he was first starting out with it, but it's probably gotten even more brutal since then.
Yeah, because he's discovered a lot more secret tech, I'm sure, between now and then. Then and now, I should say.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. So, Nick, let's talk about some of the token makers you use in Rhys.
Yeah, so my Rhys deck is largely tribal. It's mostly elves. So one of my favorite token generators for that deck is Elvish Promenade. It's 3 and a green for a tribal sorcery, elf. Put a 1/1 grief elf warrior creature token onto the battlefield for each elf you control.
Did you say 1/1 grief elf? That's great.
Green elf warrior.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about grief elves. Those are Nath elves, aren't they?
Yeah, those are Nath elves. So, you can play this and then activate Rhys's second ability and just have it, spiral out of control from there. And the only downside of it is sorcery speed, so you are limited to when you can play it. But it is one of my more favorite ones to play in that deck.
Yeah, that's great. That's the one with the parade of elves on it, right? Because they're talking about promenading 2x2.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So speaking of sorcery speed and instant speed, the next one on my list is Secure the Waste. This is X and white, one white. And whenever you want, because it's instant speed, you can put X 1/1 white warrior creature tokens onto the battlefield. So this is perfect to do at someone else's end step.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
When you've got your Mirari's Wake out on the field already, you just dump 10 or 15 mana into it.
Yeah, I think I've been on the receiving end of your Secure the Wastes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a great game finisher. And if it's not enough, if those 1/1s aren't enough to take out your opponents, if you do this at instant speed on their end step, during your next turn, you can play another favorite card of mine, Devout Invocation. It is a sorcery speed card, 6 and a white. Tap any number of untapped creatures you control. Put a 4/4 white angel creature token onto the with flying onto the battlefield for each creature tapped this way.
Come on. For real? This is a card?
This is a card. So if they've got a lot of little dudes mucking up the ground, you can't get your army through for whatever reason, go to the skies. And if you want to be really mean, a card that's not on our list here but goes well with creatures you want to attack right away is Concordant Crossroads. It's a 1 green mana enchantment that gives all creatures haste, not just your own, but everybody's. But, you know, if you've got 10 4/4 angels suddenly sprouting out of nowhere, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, my. Wow, this card, Devout Invocation, is about a buck. And combined with Concordant Crossroads, if you're lucky enough to have that, oh my God, listen to me, I'm talking like I'm from New York again. That's a great way to get a ton of angels.
Yeah, I mean, the mana cost is a little high, you know, on the high end, but you're in green, so you can definitely afford it.
Well, it's 7 mana, and if, you know, the turn before you secure the waste and then dump this out, you're basically trading up all those 1/1 soldiers for 4/4 flying angels, and
again, for the same cost as an Amara Tandris.
Yeah, for the same cost as an Amara Tandris, and a Bountiful Harvest.
So one thing I like to do when I trade up my tokens is I will first tap them, and then I will sacrifice in the Ashnod's Altar, cast Eternal Witness, get Devout Invocation back, and cast it again. You tap all those new angels that you just made, and then you've got even more angels.
Yeah, and then since you're in the color with Seedborn Muse, you untap it. You untap at the beginning of your opponent's turn, and life becomes very interesting.
Yeah, Seedborn Muse, the Fair Prophet.
Yep, it's the Flash, baby. It's the Flash. So what else do you have? I can't think about Devout Invocation.
So up next, I've got Nomad's Assembly. It's a sorcery, 4/2 white. Put a 1/1 white core soldier creature token onto the battlefield for each creature you control, and it has rebound.
That's
on. That's the kicker.
So, first turn, you get 5 or 10 soldier creatures. Next turn, as long as they stay on the board, you're going to get, what is it now, 10 or 20?
How is this possible?
So the only thing it has going against it is that they are soldier creatures, which doesn't really mesh well with our warrior sub theme, but I let it slide.
Yeah, you'll make an exception for essentially doubling the number of creature tokens you have in play.
In this kind of deck, would you use Martial Coup as your board wipe?
Yeah, actually it is the only board wipe that I run in my Restore team deck.
Yeah, I think you were the first one to show me Martial Coup.
Yeah, it's a great way to wipe the board clean and start off fresh for the next turn.
I either want to play this deck now or forget completely about it. Do you have any other cards on your token makers list?
I've got one more. It's Imperious Perfect. It's a creature elf warrior for 2 and a green. Other elf creatures you control get +1/+1. And you can pay a green and tap Imperious Perfect to put a 1/1 green elf warrior creature token onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So a little elf lord going on, little bit of token generation and warrior sub theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a standard for my elf tribal decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great one. He goes well with Bramblewood Paragon that we just talked about a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm. Those are all awesome. I kind of want to see it again. Do you, if you still have that deck lying around, would you mind playtesting it with us sometime?
Oh, definitely.
Hmm. Nate, do you want to talk about these other secret cards, some of which aren't so secret?
Sure. Arachnogenesis, 2 and a green, instant. Put X, 1/2 green spider creature tokens with reach onto the battlefield, where X is the number of creatures attacking you. Don't attack me. I got spiders. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn by non-spider creatures.
Did you mention you had spiders?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to block your Emrakul.
Yeah.
Your Emrakul will be killed by a swarm of spiders.
Yeah. Poor Emrakul.
That's a great visual, by the way, just imagining Emrakul, thousands of little spiders crawling all over his body.
There's a comic strip.
Oh, there is?
From Cardboard Crack, where it's squirrels instead of spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
15-1-1 squirrels. Hmm. All right, and this next card is Increasing Devotion. 3 and white, another sorcery. Put 5 1/1 white human creature tokens onto the battlefield. If Increasing Devotion was cast from a graveyard, put 10 of those tokens onto the battlefield instead, and it has flashback, 7 white. Wow, that's nice.
Do you play this one, Nick?
I actually cut it from my version of the deck because I run fewer white sources, so the double white, and you're only getting 5 when you cast it the first time. And I found that I had cards that were making tokens easier for me, so it was cut for my version of the deck.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking at 5 mana and you can dump that into something else, it's going to be a little bit more effective. But still, you get 5 creatures, it'll help if you got nothing else to do with your mana. Maybe Reese is taking a little break in the middle of the game.
Yeah, it's still a good card. It still helps you stabilize on the board after a board wipe. Yeah. It just wasn't a card for me.
Right.
Intangible Virtue. 1 and a white. Enchantment. Hey, do you have creature tokens? They get +1/+1 and have vigilance.
Mm-hmm. And that's an enchantment, right? So it sticks around is what I'm saying. That's good.
It sticks around.
Oh, boy. Yeah, just a nice little utility card goes in, but we all know how important vigilance is to EDH, and so giving your tokens vigilance, that's cool.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's a great card. It makes combat phases more difficult for your opponents because you're never going to be open again.
Yeah, they have to then spend enchantment removal on Intangible Virtue. And more than likely that enchantment removal costs at least as much as Intangible Virtue, so they're losing on mana.
Yeah, that never feels good.
Yeah, it never feels good. And of course, you're eventually going to put out Doubling Season various other cards that double the number of tokens put into play, so why not?
Hey, Nick, do you use Eldrazi Monument?
I do use Eldrazi Monument.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. We didn't mention that yet. That's kind of secret tech, isn't it?
I don't know how secret it is.
Didn't we mention it in the Gruul cast? I think we might have.
We did a Gruul cast?
The Gruul token commanders? Or not Gruul, just the last the last cast we did.
I'm like,
that thing we did.
Yeah, that thing we did. You know what I'm talking about.
So whether we talked about it or not before, Eldrazi Monument, it costs 5. It's an artifact. All the creatures you got, they get +1/+1, and they're flying and indestructible. That's all very handy. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature. If you can't, sacrifice Eldrazi Monument.
Maybe one of those warriors that you just put into play at the end of your opponent's turn. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a brutal card. I love it. Love it. Jiraga War Caller for a green creature elf warrior 1/1 multi-kicker 1 and a green. So you can kick it multiple times. You may pay an additional 1 and a green any number of times as you cast the spell. Jiraga War Caller enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each time it was kicked. Other elf creatures you control get +1/+1 for each +1/+1 counter on Jiraga War Caller. So that's another one. You pop him into play just before your attack step. If you happen to have haste for everybody, awesome. And if not, oh well. It only gives your other creatures, your other elf creatures at least, what, plus five?
Yeah, it's got to be elf tribal.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy eats removal if you're playing in an elf tribal deck.
Yeah, he does.
And
yeah.
With my deck with the 1-1 counter synergies, you don't even have to pump a lot of mana into the multi-kicker. Just do it 2 or 3 times, and he's going to get counters from other sources like Bramblewood Paragon, Hardened Scales, Gavinny Township. So you don't have to spend a lot of mana to make your board a huge threat with this guy.
Yeah. Woof. Yeah, I confess I've played him a few times. He's not currently in Marath, but of course Marath is not elf tribal, so. Nate, what's this next one? Kitty cats.
Oh yeah, where'd this come from? The Cottle War Pride. 3 green, green, green. Creature, cat warrior, 3/3. The Cottle War Pride must be blocked by exactly one creature, if able. Whenever the Cottle War Pride attacks, put X tokens into play, tapped and attacking, that are copies of Nakatl Warpride, where X is the number of creatures defending player controls.
Oh, crazy.
Remove the tokens from the game at end of turn.
Womp womp. So one neat trick to do with this guy in Reese the Redeemed, because the tokens are going to be removed at the end of turn. After you've created the tokens, you activate Reese's second ability, and you make a bunch of tokens that don't leave the game at end of turn.
Right. And any tokens that may be created by other doubling effects, those are also not removed at end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an army of cats to supplement your army of elves.
And what's interesting about that is you'll notice that all the tokens are copies of Nakatl Warpride. So the next turn, you're attacking with, say, 5 Nakatl Warprides. The ability triggers for each of them, and then you're really getting a lot.
Holy sh!
Boop.
You know, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. So somebody who doesn't quite understand Nakatl Warpride is about to get eaten by cats.
Yeah, and they look like they have rabies.
Yeah, these are vicious-looking cats. Huh. Wolf, our next card is not as impressive as that, I think, but Wolf Caller's Howl. For 3 and a green enchantment at the beginning of your upkeep, put X 2/2 green wolf creature tokens onto the battlefield, where X is the number of your opponents with 4 or more cards in hand. That's just funny and mean.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work so well in Naith.
No. So you wouldn't put it in Naith, but you would put it in practically any other green token deck.
Yeah, it's a nice card.
God, that's a funny... Yeah, it's a funny piece of art too, isn't it?
Yeah, you got that dog in the corner there with his tongue hanging out.
Yeah.
Speaking of things you might want to put in every green token deck, there's Awakening Zone and From Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both enchantments. One of them costs 2 and a green, the other costs 3 and a green. And they make little Eldrazi on your upkeep.
Cute little Eldrazi, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can kill them for mana.
Yeah. We got a cute little token they could use, too, for these new Scions.
All right.
Yeah. You know, here's a question. So we have enough enchantments in this deck. Is it worth putting in one of the enchantresses? So you draw a card off each enchantment played. Are there enough of those?
Is it worth putting in Greater Oromancy and Sterling Grove?
Right. Probably not then. Although Sterling Grove is great. I don't know. What would you do, listeners? Let us know. Well, believe it or not, I can do that without hitting my Bane mask against the microphone. Well, it's almost the end of the show. Believe it or not, we have already ripped through this deck. It's worth noting that there are dozens of other cards that we could talk about, including in this deck, almost all the tribal cards, plenty of other elves, if that's your shtick with this particular one. And, of course, Reese is just really useful and goes in any number of token-based decks. So let us know what your suggestions are. We'll be sharing our Reese decks, maybe even build and playtest a couple of Trostani decks, just to see how much we can abuse that life gain. And, Nate, as always, you have a message of the week that just kind of rains on everybody's parade.
Yeah, it rains on everybody's parade and it floods. It creates a flood. It rains so much.
Yeah.
It's flooded woodlands. You have woodlands? Well, now they're flooded. It costs two, and a blue and a black. Enchantment. The Oracle text says, green creatures cannot attack unless their controller sacrifices a land for each green creature he or she controls that's attacking.
Oh.
This cost is paid as attackers are declared. Now, this might backfire against Titania, Protector of Argoth, or the Gitrog monster, but otherwise, I like this card. How about you, Phil? Do you like this? Do you like this card?
No. No. This card is terrible, Nate. Once again, you have selected a card that I am going to disproportionately dislike, aren't I?
And it only costs one or two gumballs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think I have a pile of these in my Ice Age binder. And my Ice Age singles? Yeah, because this is a common card, I think. Brutal against green. Why do you hate green so much, Nate?
Because you guys play it.
I always get the feeling that Nate's message of the week is designed to make me cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's to make everyone cry.
Oh. Well, the Gitrog monster and Titania will kind of appreciate this. Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll find out someday.
Someday.
Oh, speaking of Titania and the Gitrog monster, our next big token episode will focus on token commanders with green land shenanigans. I'm talking about Omnath, Locus of Rage, and Titania, Protector of Argoth. And since they share many of the same tactics, we're going to also kind of talk about some non-token honorable mention commanders. Borborygmos Enraged, the Gitrog Monster, and maybe Mina and Den Wildborn.
Oh, nice tie-in. So even though they won't be the focus, they definitely do share a lot of the same traits, at least the same goals, don't they? Get a lot of land into play.
They're going to have a lot of the same cards in their deck.
Well, as long as we have land shenanigans and we're making tokens, I'll be happy.
Yay.
All right. Well, Nick, have you enjoyed this episode? I know that you spent a lot of time with Jackson this episode, but couldn't be helped, and he takes priority.
Yeah, I had a blast, and Jackson did too. He's been here for most of it.
Yep. Well, he's been quite cooperative, and we have to thank Jackson. And you are such a wonderful dad, taking care of Jackson, just being there with him, teaching him all about magic, which cards taste the best.
Yeah, he has an affinity for some expensive cards.
Remember, double sleeve them, Nick.
Oh, yes. Double sleeve all the way.
Yep. But when he starts teething, it's not going to help.
He has good taste in cards. Or do the cards have good taste? And remember, the internet is like a demon. You need to keep feeding it baby pictures to keep it satiated.
We'll have to throw a couple more up there on Twitter for everybody.
Yes, please do. Please do. When this show drops, you'll be, of course, alerted to it. And just make sure to flood us with baby pictures, scowling, smiling, doing whatever he's doing, especially if you can somehow get him to stick his middle finger up like my children used to do.
We have a good picture of him doing that in the ultrasound. The first picture we have of him.
Excellent. That is a harbinger of things to come. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put inside of your ears, all of them, head on over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg and donate a buck a show. That'd be really cool. Or you can pop on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. We love our listeners, and we're incredibly grateful to all of you, especially patrons like David Dorn II, Sandro, if I'm probably mispronouncing that because I think he's from Brazil, but Sandro Hodel, Matt Tilling, and Michael D. Moore Jr. Come play with us, and of course, if you donate $10 or more per episode, come join the patron chat we host over on Facebook. Our theme song was created for the podcast by Nate Burgess. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto with assistance from Kelly. Mr. Picto can be found at mrpicto.co.uk. Special thanks to our tech whizzes Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and of course, as always, to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website, commanderandmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com. You can find us on all the social medias by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. And individually on Twitter, we are at Ketjack, K-E-T-J-A-K.
I'm at Mr. Plorg.
And Sean, of course, is at Copain26. Now, Nick, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Facebook. I'm Nick Jaragoski. Or you can find me on Twitter at RaddestNick, RaddestNick.
Yep. And what about folks trying to find you on Cockatrice to playtest a couple of decks and maybe even get beat up by your latest iteration of Reese?
You can find me on Cockatrice, username RadLad.
Yeah. All right. And Nick, you know how to take us out.
And keep on commandering. Damn it. And that's our show.
Surprise, everybody.
They were just three young dryads when the conclave felt so sad, 'cause they couldn't talk with their big honking tree. In a trance, they went real funny as they merged into Trostani. Now they're talking up Selesnya white and green. Oh, making your tokens populate. Oh, Calipigian life gain. Oh, you better get those tokens out. Selesnya's voice, you're making Ravnica go round. Selesnya's voice, you're making Ravnica go round.
Hey everybody, Kermit the Frog here. Our next big token episode will focus on token commanders with green land shenanigans, featuring Titania, Protector of Argoth, and Omnath, Locus of Rage. Yay!